Every family had a piano, and Soviet Union classical music was it. There was only classical music because pop music was considered not Soviet, and it was something Americans did, and jazz was something Americans did. So classical music was music for masses. Grandma played, my mom played, my aunt played. My father didn't play, and my brother played piano, so every family had piano. You would walk on the streets and you just heard piano or violin, and that's how you just pick up the instrument and pick any instrument you play. So I wanted to be in the theater, and I thought, I have no voice, I cannot sing. I want to be an actor, but my parents said, well, you're doing music so well, why don't you put music and theater together? And you can be in the opera house. And opera was also a big thing, and we lived right across the opera house. And I thought, I'm going to be a conductor to be in the theater. First, I was exchange student. It was still Soviet Union. And I went to New York. Somebody from the United States went to Soviet Union because it was Gorbachev and borders opened, and it was big exchange between students. And I came to Juilliard. I studied in New York, first Menes College and in Juilliard. And I started conducting all over the United States. I was music director of Richmond Philharmonic Orchestra, then orchestra in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then Dr. Kong invited me, and there was no orchestra here. It was just 20 strings or 19 strings. And now we have 82 musicians on stage performing Hall's Jupiter. And this is my fifth year. So I wanted to create big symphony orchestra where musicians from community and university students can enjoy play that incredible sound. Like, can you imagine 82 musicians play together? It's just incredible. Because sometimes I look at university students and they have this face like, wow, this sounds so cool. <laughs> 82 people is a lot to direct. You cannot, that's the hardest part. You have to be very correct, you have to have sense of humor, you have to make a joyous experience. And I've seen so many conductors, and the conductors start yelling, and you feel like they defeating this whole purpose of this process of having through the jury rehearse and find ways how to rehearse with them. They made mistake, that's why you are in the rehearsal, to fix it. But you have to have a big smile always and fix it. Even if you are mad and you had a hard day or you don't feel like it, that's your job. You have to have, it's in a way kind of, that's what the university here teaches you, to be a leader and to find ways how to direct people, company or law firm or something. So that's what you're learning. Imagine it's like Shakespeare's play. Good directors have to see action beyond words. And if you can read that action and put that play together, that's what conductors do. You have to see a story behind those notes. And if that story works, and if it makes sense, that's your play. That's what you're gonna bring to stage. And it's not always happens that you can achieve 100%, depends what musicians you have, what orchestra you have. And sometimes it happens 82%, sometimes it's 100%, but you basically do not change. That's the composer's idea. You have to try to read what he wanted to say with this music. I think now what really love about music, that it's a language that you don't need to translator or somebody to explain to you. It speaks itself, and especially classical music is very deep. It always deals with human emotions, links are in the music, and it can communicate ideas, and classical music is very deep. It's really not something like, it always communicates some much bigger ideas, and I think it has huge power.